Welcome to Magic Talk.
My name is Carl Castle.
I'm Peter Sagal.
With all the magic news that you need to go about your daily life existence, playing magic cards.
I'm Katie Couric. Why don't I look older?
You're not on NPR. I'm just here. Hey, everybody, we're not really NPR or NBC.
Or Katie Couric.
We're Magic the Amateuring.
My name's Ben. I'm a magic player, a real magic player.
I'm Maria. I'm also a real magic player, Ben.
My name's Megan. I kind of look my age.
We've all come here together in one room. We've gathered. We've had an assemblage in order to tell you a story. And that story is the journey of a new magic player into adulthood. And that new magic player is Megan and Maria.
We're like a caterpillar, not quite yet out of the chrysalis.
Nope.
Yeah, so we're not a caterpillar anymore.
What are we?
We're a chrysalis.
That's the actual animal is a chrysalis?
I think that when it's in a chrysalis, it's just called a chrysalis.
Oh my god. My brain is blown right now.
Because what else are you going to call it? You can't call it a caterpillar because it might be a butterfly by now. You don't know because you can't see inside of there.
Well, yeah, but I might be a human inside this robot suit, but you're not just going to call me a robot.
Yeah, but that metaphor doesn't work because it's like if you were a fox when you got into the robot suit and when you get out of the robot suit, you're going to be a human.
What Megan's trying to say...
I wouldn't know what to call you while you were inside and I couldn't see you because you might be a fox or you might be a human by now.
Get better x-ray technology.
Okay.
What she's trying to say is we're two magic players learning the game. Our friend Ben here taught us the game.
Sorry, world.
I might be a fox inside of a robot.
You are a fox, Megan.
Thank you.
And this show is all about our journey to become better magic players, and we're here to share that journey with you.
Whether you're willing or unable.
Today's show, we're going to talk about some really neat M14 problems. So get your thinking caps on, get a pencil and paper, or a pen if you're into that sort of thing. and get ready to do some math.
Yeah.
Woo!
We're also going to talk about some sweet new cards in Theros. Really excited about some of the stuff I'm seeing in there.
Paint a star field on my face.
And Megan's going to tell us a little bit about the constructed deck she's attempting to build, plus a euphemism of the week that I am personally very proud of. So please, please stick around for everything.
I wanted to talk to you guys about some rules interactions I ran into recently.
Ben, that sounds hella boring.
Well, it will be.
All right, teacher Ben.
But this is more of a public service announcement because there were a couple things that caught me somewhat by surprise, and I just want to make sure that you civilians out there playing Magic 14 in the trenches don't get caught in the same whirlwind of dust maggots.
Dust maggots?
Yeah.
That sounds the worst.
Sounds like the worst animal.
A whirlwind of them.
All right, so... Ooh. How do you guys deal with first strikers? How do you normally deal with first strikers?
I draft them.
Nice. You don't have to deal with them.
Because I've got all of them.
You just need a creature with greater toughness than they have power.
But what if you don't have that? What if you just have a lot of smaller creatures?
Oh, get ready to do some computing.
Okay. I don't want to, but I'll do it.
But let's say I had like a 4/1 first striker. How many creatures do you have to put in front of that? To kill it, if you want to kill it.
I need to have 5 toughness worth of creatures.
Yeah, right. And then the surviving creature has to have 1 power.
1 power at least.
Yes.
So if I had like a 4/2, then you'd need...
At least 5 toughness with leftover 2 power.
Okay, so if it was
all... You guys, I had leftover 2 power for lunch today.
How was it?
I've not heard... as good reheated.
Yeah.
So if it was all 2/2s, then it'd be like you'd need what, like 3 of them?
Yep.
But if it was 1/1s, you would need
just six of them. Shit ton.
6 of them. All right. So here's I was playing and I actually had a 2/2 enchanted with lightning talon, so it was a 5/2 first strike, and my opponent blocked with 2 predatory slivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So predatory sliver is a 1/1, and each predatory cyber gives +1/+1, so they're both 3/3s.
I can tell you what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. What's going to happen?
During the first strike phase, it deals enough damage to kill one of the slivers.
That's true. Yep.
But then with one of the slivers gone, the other sliver loses its It loses one of its +1/+1, so it becomes a 2/2.
Right.
And also dies.
So assuming I assign 3 damage to one of the slivers, and then 2 damage to the other sliver, first strike damage resolves at the beginning of the damage step, and the first sliver dies. Now, the second sliver is also going to be dead because now it has 2 damage on it and has just become a 2/2. My opponent didn't see that when he made the block, and I almost didn't see it. I was like, almost like used a removal spell on one of them, but I was like, oh wait, I don't have to.
Yeah, I also had that happen the other day when I was playing a little It was like 4-pack sealed.
Was this in a back alley?
Yeah, it was in a back alley.
Back alley magic.
It's, you can play 4-pack sealed where each person just builds a little 30-card deck.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, point being that I had 2 slivers, but it was the one, it's the 2/2 that gives each one, it's steel form, +0/+1.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I realized that if I blocked with both of them, one of them was going to die, and then the other one would also die because it would lose its additional +1.
Yeah, so...
watch out.
Watch out for those sliver interactions because...
First strike will resolve before your other combat damage.
Yeah, and even without first strike, you want to be careful. If something's getting killed off, anything that adds toughness can also affect the way other things are going to live. So you just want to make sure that you're taking that into account. It makes the math a lot harder.
Yes. But this is not going to happen, say, if you're fighting something that doesn't have first strike, because all combat damage is done simultaneously.
That's not true. Say Ben is attacking with 2 2/2s, and you block each one. Oh man, I'm going to do this math wrong.
Sam attacking with a hill giant, a 3/3, and a 2/2.
There we go.
And you have 2 predatory slivers.
Yeah.
They're both 3/3s right now.
Yeah. You can block the 2/2 and eat it.
Yeah.
Or you can trade with a 3/3.
Right.
But you can't trade with the 3/3 and eat the 2/2. You would have to trade with the 3/3 and with the 2/2. Right?
Because as soon as, even if you block the predatory sliver with your 2/2,
yeah.
As soon as the first sliver dies, that predatory sliver still has 2 damage on it, and it just lost a +1/+1. So it's gonna go to being a 2/2,
yeah.
And until the end of turn, it still has 2 damage on it. So
as soon as that other one dies, bye bye.
Exactly. Even if it's not first strike damage, it's until the end of the turn that damage is on there.
That's tricky shit, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's also something to watch out for when you're attacking. If your opponent, you know, has a disperse, or if they have a doom blade or something like that, a shock maybe, it can shrink a lot of your other slivers if you got a bunch of slivers out there. So that's nice. You know, it's both the beauty and the tragedy of being a sliver.
There you go.
You have the warm comfort of community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you live on a farm where there's no power and everyone has chores, but if you don't do the chores, like, one can force you to do them. No one's going to make you starve.
I thought this was going to be the kind of one where they murder you if you don't do your chores.
No, but there are, you know, it's prone to shocks and doom blades flying through the commune. So.
Our doom blades! Right through the jugular.
That is a terrifying farm. I'm just going to say that. That farm is scary shit.
That's the price for hippie orgies.
Oh,
the other weird rule thing I saw was I was playing a game where I had Awaken the Ancient, which is the 4-mana red enchantment you put on a mountain, and it turns the mountain into a 7/7 giant with haste.
Yes. You guys, I love this story so much. I'm going to preface this
it's
with
great.
I love this
it's
story.
Great.
It's a good one.
So I had this card, I had a bunch of other aggro cards, and I'm just like beating down my opponent. And so he does what was perfectly natural, and I probably would have done the same thing. He cloned my mountain he cloned my 7-7, right? But as it turns out,
without the enchantment on it,
it was just a mountain. So he just got a mountain.
Oh my god, that poor guy.
He paid 4 mana for a mountain. Poor guy.
I suppose there's worse deals.
Are there?
Not really.
Are there really worse deals than really. Paying 4 mana for a mountain?
But then next turn he casts Colossal Whale, right?
I mean, yeah, that's ramp. That's a way to ramp.
It's ramp. There you go.
Don't underestimate the ramp.
He did a sweet job with that.
Yeah, so save your clones for actual creatures. And if I have a 7-7 giant, use a time ebb on it because that'll really hurt.
Ouch.
That'll really hurt in my hole.
This is also... This is also important, something that I learned about clone when I was playing Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Which is, if it's something like, I can't think of a creature in this set right now, off the top of my head.
I can think of one.
Where
I
can think of one.
Spore Mound.
No. How about a Baeloth, Rumbling Baeloth?
That's good. You guys, I'm not just saying any creature, I'm thinking of a specific one. Of
Sarah Angel.
Oh, I'm going to punch you both in the
Nav
face.
Squad Commandos.
Archangel of Thune.
No, wait, that's the wrong set.
Nav Squad Mahorn.
A creature that is a 0/0 when you cast it, but it comes into play with a certain number of counters on it based on some sort of effect. So in Duels of the Planeswalkers, it's Primordial Hydra. It's X and a green, and it comes into play. It's technically a 0/0.
There's Vastwood Hydra and Colonian Hydra in this
Colonian
set.
Hydra is a 4/4 when it comes into play.
Okay. Are you talking about Vastwood Hydra? Because it's an X. So Vastwood Hydra is X green green, and it comes into play with X counters on it.
And it's a 0/0 by itself?
Yeah, and it's a 0/0.
Okay, that one works. Vastwood Hydra?
Yeah.
Okay, so Vastwood Hydra. If I tried to clone Vastwood Hydra, it would go straight to the graveyard. Because when I cloned it, it's just copying the card. It's not copying the counters on the card.
But
it would just be a 0/0.
But doesn't it say it comes into play? Isn't it still coming into play?
It is coming into play, but I didn't pay X. So
the card says it comes into play with X +1/+1 counters. If you clone it, X is going to be 0 because the creature doesn't remember what X was. And so when you copy it, it's not going to go back into like its tax records.
It has Alzheimer's.
And look up what that X was. It's just going to be assumed to be 0. That's also true if you like cheat Colonian Hydra into play somehow. Like if you have a Garrick. And you use his -3 to put a green creature into play.
Yeah, it'll same thing.
It'll be X will be 0.
Good thing to remember.
For Colonian Hydra? I think Colonian Hydra doesn't.
No,
have
no,
X.
No, no. For Vastwood Hydra.
For Vastwood Hydra.
The reason Colonian Hydra is different is because Colonian Hydra says on the card, when this creature comes into play,
put 4/+1/+1 counters.
It doesn't
on
say
it.
X.
So you can clone a Colonian Hydra.
Yes.
Which is used. Colonian. That's how you remember it.
Yeah, it's a good mnemonic.
And if you had a card that you wanted to clone out of the ones that we've named, that bitch is it.
All right.
And the reason, so I just want to say the reason this works is because clone says as it comes into play, it comes into play as a creature. Choose a creature, it comes into play as that creature. So the trigger when this creature enters the battlefield is going to work because the clone will be that creature as it enters the battlefield. There are some There are some cards that will become a copy of a creature that's already on the battlefield. And if you use one of those cards, there's none in M14, but I think there's one in Theros, like one of the Theros previews. It's like heroic, when this creature becomes the target of a spell, it can copy a creature on the battlefield and it gains this ability. If you use that, it's just going to become the creature, but it's not going to
enter the battlefield.
It's not
going to
gain.
It's not going to.
It doesn't enter the battlefield, so it doesn't get the trigger, and it doesn't get any counters or enchantments or anything that are on the creature. So in that case, your clone would just be a 0/0.
Bummer.
Bum city.
Well, this brings to mind a question of mine. What do you guys? What?
I think that is a worse deal than cloning a mountain.
Now,
there's a creature called Quicksilver Giant. This is a creature from Innistrad or something. And it's like a blue 7-drop. And it comes into play as a copy of target creature, except that it's a 7/7.
What?
So I would highly recommend that you clone a Colonian Hydra with that thing, because then it'll be a 7/7 with 4 plus 1 plus 1 counters.
Brilliant.
Bam. I just need to get up to 8 mana, man.
So there you go. Be careful out there, guys.
Yeah, man. Bring your umbrella. What? Theros, going deep.
Bloop, bloop.
You guys, bloop, bloop. Theros has had a lot of cards spoiled by now.
Yeah, it has. I'm surprised every day I get on and I'm like, oh shit, man. It's like Christmas.
It is. Wait,
where can
it's
I
like
find
visual
these?
Christmas.
Where can I find these cards?
Let me Google that for you, Ben. Google MTG Theros spoilers.
You don't even need the MTG, man. You can just Google
That's
Theros.
That's true. You
post.
Can just Google
I wonder
Theros
how
spoilers.
Few words, how few letters you can Google before you get to the still having Theros spoilers be your
okay.
number one hit.
Okay.
Theros spoy?
How about THSSPOI? Try that.
THSSPOI?
Yeah, that's not going to get it, is it?
Yep.
It totally is. It totally is. So you can Google THS space SPOI.
Awesome.
And you
awesome.
Will still, your number one hit will still be Theros spoilers.
So go online and check those out if you haven't. Follow along.
Okay.
There's been a lot spoiled, including Theros. We've got our gods have all been spoiled.
Yeah,
I've switched religions.
And Ben, which religion have you switched to?
Thassaism.
Oh, you're Thassaism.
You're Thassa.
I'm a Thassist.
Thassist. Megan, who do you like here of all the gods?
You know, I've looked at them and yeah. I still can't decide.
Oh no.
Because
are we allowed to double up or can only Ben be a Thassa?
No,
Thassist.
If you're gonna be a multiple god person, I mean you've gotta take into consideration is that god up for that?
Or maybe I'm a Thasslum.
I do think that Thassa is pretty sweet.
Yes, that would be my choice for sweetest god, so I'm definitely a Thassist as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I think after that, I don't know. I don't know what my next pick is.
Perforite?
Perforos?
Are you a perforite?
A perforite? I might be a Nylaean.
Yeah, Nylaean, the green god.
Maybe you're an Erebos.
We're for sure not going to be Helioids. I think that's the common consensus here.
Why is that?
Helioids.
I don't know. Nobody's saying that they like that guy. Do you guys like this guy?
I mean,
the white guy.
I like him.
He's fine.
I like him just fine.
Ben, do you have any opinion on? So, do you think Thassa is the best of the four gods we've seen so far?
We've seen all five gods.
I mean, five gods.
Home slice.
Sorry.
Do I think Thassa is the best?
Yes.
I don't care.
What does that mean? What do you
what
mean?
What does
you
the
don't
best
care?
Mean? In constructed?
In limited.
In limited. Like if I play one and you play one, who's gonna win?
Which yes. one of these are you going to be most excited to open first? Pack one, pick one.
I guess Thassa. I'll take any one of them.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay.
That's
yes.
true. I'm not
yeah.
going to be picky with my gods and Theros. I'd be like, anyone who wants to come to this party is welcome. You don't even have to bring something.
It's a god party, and everyone's invited as long as you're a god or a god's weapon.
Ain't no
exactly.
god party like a god party, because a god party...
Don't stop.
It don't stop.
It literally doesn't stop because they're indestructible.
And it also doesn't start until your devotion is at 5.
Yes.
AKA dead.
Thassa, thank you so much for showing up. I'm sorry that I don't have enough other blue friends here
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, for you to manifest into a physical body that can attack.
Thank you for being an enchantment at my party.
Oh, and thank you for
okay.
making things unblockable.
I
that's
like
so
that.
Cool.
I really
the best
that.
Thing to have at a party is someone to unblock you.
Do you guys have jello shots?
Well, okay, let's look at all of their abilities that they give you when they're just an enchantment. How about
that? Right. So the way these things work is they are indestructible. They're all indestructible.
Nice.
They're all enchantment creatures with a little catch. If your devotion to their color is less than 5, they're not actually creatures. So what that means is if, for example, for the blue god, if the number of blue mana symbols on permanents you control in the casting cost is less than 5, then it's not a real boy. It's just a blow-up doll.
It's just a little enchantment. Although I still have to say, for 3 mana, this is a sweet enchantment. Like Thassa, that's an enchantment that I would take for 3.
What is her ability for 3?
So Thassa gives you, at the beginning of your upkeep, scry one.
Mm-hmm. So is that before you draw?
Your upkeep?
Your upkeep comes before your draw step.
Yeah.
So you can look at a card and be like, I don't want to draw that card next turn.
Yeah.
Put it on the bottom of your deck.
But you have to remember that. That's the tricky part.
Put a dice. Little trick. Put a die on top of your deck if you have a trigger you need to remember.
Yep, that will remind you. That will remind you.
Nice. Don't forget, because that's a sweet ability.
That's free. Then, that tip's free.
For one and a blue, target creature you control can't be blocked this turn.
I love it.
Beautiful. That's cheap. That's cheap as dirt, man.
Cheap.
Yeah, I'd pay really that. Great. I'd pay that twice on a single creature.
Ben, you don't have to.
I will.
If you pay it twice, it becomes possible to block it again.
Ah.
So don't.
We've got another fancy pants ability here from Helioid, the god of the sun. Helioid sounds
Heliod?
Heliod. Okay, good, because Helioid sounded like some kind of butt problem.
Yep.
Okay.
Helioid, god of the butt problem.
So your other permanents you control have vigilance.
Oh.
Sure. And for two colorless and two white, you get to put a 2/1 white cleric enchantment creature token onto the battlefield. So,
and that's going to have vigilance, so.
So it's a 2/1 vigilance for four.
Sure, I guess. Yeah. I'll take it.
Why not?
I mean, it's no unblockable for one and a blue, but
yeah.
So these things, so they all have like one static ability and then one activated ability.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
And then they have power and toughness too, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Let's roll through these real quick. Erebos.
God of the dead. Sweet art.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet art.
This is a guy that I don't think I want at my party.
No.
He's pretty scary. He's going to chase everyone away.
He's not going to... He won't let my opponents gain life.
That's true. Well, I think that's a good thing.
So nobody will be the life of your party?
No one will be the life of your party! Man, Erebos came and the party was just dead.
Oh my god,
what
you guys are
downer.
So high right now.
We're so, super high. Let's
what is his other ability?
His other ability is like Sign and Blood ability. Pay 2 life, 2 mana to draw a card.
Worth it? Question mark?
I guess that's not really a Sign and Blood. Sign and Blood lets you draw 2 cards. But yeah, that's definitely worth it.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, at most points in a game of Magic, you're going to pay 2 life to draw a card, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm just going to play Divination.
That would work too.
Yeah, but how are you going to get that divination? You're going to have to pay 2 life to draw. No, this is very good. Like, you're basically going to use all your extra mana on this. Whenever you have extra mana.
Just laying around.
Yeah. You're going to pay to draw more cards. And then, oh, now I have stuff to do with all my mana.
Sure.
Nice.
Our friend, the red god, Purphoros, god of the forge.
Mm-hmm. Also,
you guys,
god of old printer paper.
Why?
Because it's perforated.
Oh, nice. Got it.
I feel like forges aren't really so much a thing. Why do they get their own god? The sun, that's a big deal.
He should be like...
God of the forge.
God of the injection mold. Or god of the solder bath or something.
Yeah, exactly. Something more contemporary.
God of the volcano? That's god, seems normal.
Yeah, that would be... I think he is standing like in a volcano. In that picture.
I think that's like his sweat.
He's sweating a volcano?
Yeah.
That's badass, man.
He must be working really hard.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I got such a workout in today. I would like sweat a volcano.
Who's at the door?
Yeah, so this guy gives your creatures expensive fire breathing.
Nice. Wait.
No, it lets you give all of your creatures +1/+0 for 3 mana. So that's pretty good. And then also, when your dudes enter the battlefield, they get to like upper slap your opponent a little bit. Get to do 2 damage to target opponent or to each
uppercut.
Opponent.
Uppercut.
To
so this
opponent.
Is 4
so
damage. And
get
giant.
Him. Get him. Open this guy into a giant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
You won't be stopped. You can't
that's
be stopped. Plan. How could you be stopped?
You
but
can't
only
be.
Your,
it's
only your creatures, not your. Not your partner's creatures.
Okay.
That's fine.
How about our friend, this green goddess?
Nylea, god of the hunt.
She gives your creatures trample.
Okay.
She gives her other creatures trample, so she doesn't get trample. I mean, I'd never want trample on my 6/6 anyway. So.
Yeah, why? Why would you need that?
I don't know.
What I really wanted is on my 1 mana elf.
But hey, for 3 and a green, you can give that 1 mana elf +2/+2.
Yay!
Yay!
That's going to make me really mad playing against her, I think, late game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's gonna be like
late
all
game,
of your
that would be like
all of your opponent's creatures are Root Wallas.
Yep.
Pain in the ass.
Oh my god, why is there this forest of Root Wallas?
Ugh.
Guys, I really want to have 3 gods out at the same time at some point. Seems like it's gonna be really hard.
Make it a life goal, Ben. Just having 2 out would be super
fun.
I'm
never gonna have that much devotion.
So do you think we're gonna see a lot more push towards monocolored decks because of devotion?
Yes.
I think that
got it.
If you open one in limited.
I don't think there'll be that much monocolor stuff, but I think you'll be rewarded for having 1 primary color and then like your secondary color, you don't want to do a 50-50 split probably if you have devotion cards. You wanna pick one and stick to it.
Yeah.
Also it makes the double casting cost cards better. Usually they're, you know, they can be a lot harder to cast, but in this set it seems like they're gonna give you bonuses.
Yeah.
Although we haven't seen that many cards that deal with devotion, right? There's these gods and then there's maybe a couple others in other colors.
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen how good they actually are.
Nice. Let's look at these tools of the gods. I could have said tools is like Artifacts of the gods.
It's more like their junk, right? The junk they have lying around?
The junk of the gods. That's something else.
Or maybe the members of their inventory.
Hey, Perforos, let me get a look at your hammer.
We can look at his hammer.
We can. It's a sizable hammer.
We talked about the Biden of Thassa, whatever,
yeah,
on a previous episode.
That's sweet. It's a sweet
pretty
Biden.
Pretty sweet.
Nice Biden you got there. Let's see. Hammer of Perforos. 2 and a red and tap. Sacrifice a land. Put a 3/3 colorless golem enchantment artifact creature. A 3/3 colorless golem enchantment artifact creature token onto the battlefield.
Creatures you control
have haste.
It's going to turn your lands into mans.
How many times are you going to have an equipment of the gods and that same god? That's what I want to know.
Never.
Rarely. It's going to be pretty rare.
Wouldn't that be pretty sweet, rare, though?
That would be sweet.
The tools are rares and the gods are mythics. And this is a large set, so yeah, it's not going to come up that often, but it's going to be super cool.
That's fair.
Take a picture when it does.
I want all cards to have creature types with that long of a name. Colorless golem enchantment artifact creature token.
Yikes.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words.
Yeah.
Get to the heart of the matter.
I actually think the bow of, what's her name?
Nylea
is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
Because it gives things death touch.
Attacking creatures you control have death touch.
I love death touch.
Oh, it's got like, it's modal. You can either put a +1/+1 counter on target creature, or deals 2 damage to target creature with flying, or you gain 3 life, or put up to 4 cards from your graveyard on the bottom of your library in any order.
That's pretty sweet. I have to say, I like modal things.
Yeah, I wonder if this is, if they made this card to, like, fight back against all those mill decks that are around these days.
What do you think?
In Constructed, maybe.
Maybe so.
Yeah, man, I think that's pretty great. Like, oh, you guys all have death touch now? Deal with it.
Okay.
Here's your knives.
Handle that.
Here's your chainsaw.
Touch someone to death.
Go and touch someone to death.
It has all this utility on it. But then it also, it can gain you life or put cards on the bottom of your library.
Yeah.
So like,
it's so multi-purpose.
If you don't need the other shit, you can also...
Ouch! Ben, don't slap!
Ow! That hurt.
Ben, slap Megan.
Ow!
Someone call the cops.
I was just trying to scroll down, you jerk.
Alright. Now, there's all these cards. There's also all these cards that like only work.
Yeah, I want to talk about these.
Against the same color. So like Glare of Heresy is a white card that says exile target white permanent.
That seems...
Why would I ever pick one of these in a draft?
They seem pretty good. They're really good sideboard cards. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of sideboard cards, like Disenchant, that aren't necessarily even that good. Like, just because your opponent has a good artifact doesn't mean you necessarily want to bring in Disenchant against them.
Yeah.
That might be a bad example. Like, something like Smelt, where it's, like, very narrow.
Yeah, it does one good thing.
Right. Your opponent probably only has a few possible targets. But in this case, if your opponent's playing white, then Glare of Heresy is probably pretty good because they're probably going to have a lot of stuff to target.
This is an uncommon, though. And it's like, I don't want this to be my pick. I don't want to pick a sideboard card like this so early, right?
Well, it's not an early pick.
Okay.
But you definitely want to pick them up late.
Sure.
You want to pick it up right around the threshold, like, you know, you only need 23 cards for your deck, right?
Right.
So if it looks like you're on track, you want to take this one because it's pretty high power over something that might actually make your main deck. Because this is going to be really good against anyone that's playing white. And over the course of a draft, you're probably going to have at least one opponent that's playing white.
Right?
Bless you.
Excuse me. I'm, however, never... going to pick Gainsay
because that art is fucking terrifying. That is awful. I don't know what's going on there, but it looks scary and gross as shit.
It is a nightmare.
Don't know what's going
on there.
It's
a pretty standard. I mean, it looks like a pretty standard no mouth spell.
Oh my god! But why are there ridges there?
There's so many ridges. It's awful.
Why are there ridges? And they don't get to have a mouth.
It looks like he got Spider-Man in the face.
Oh, I hate it.
It looks awful.
I hate it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, scary. And we have played with sensory deprivation, which is pretty gross. And that, yeah. I will play with. This, I will refuse.
Yeah.
It is, like, a much better sensory deprivation, just in terms of the art, based on trying to close someone's mouth.
Oh, like, this one seems better. This is doing way better.
I mean, I would say the art on silence is probably the best, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I can handle silence. I cannot handle this one.
Wait, what's the art on silence?
It just looks like somebody's face has half gotten erased.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't have to look it up. The white card. I remember.
So this blue card just says counter target blue spell.
I'm going to buy this for you on a playmat.
I'm going to kill you.
I think this card is all right. The black one says destroy target black creature, which that one's probably the best.
And it costs one black.
Yeah, that one seems insane. Saucy. Peak Eruption, which is the red one, seems real bad.
Euphemism of the week, don't even have to try.
It costs three, and it just says destroy target mountain. Peak Eruption deals 3 damage to that lance controller.
Whatever.
So like, Ben, when was that your last Peak Eruption?
And then Hunt the Hunter. Hunt the Hunter seems super good if you're green and your opponent's green.
Yeah.
It's your opponent gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Your target
green creature you control gets +2/+2 and then it fights a green creature an opponent controls. So I guess it's not that great because you do need 2 green creatures out at the same time as opposed to the white or black one where your opponent just has to have anything. But these cards seem good. I wanna cast 3 of these in the same turn. That's my goal.
Ben, you've got some crazy goals. Good luck.
That's an interesting one. You guys, tomorrow I'm going to go to my first FNM.
Yay!
Yay!
Confetti!
Yay!
I'm real excited.
What are you playing? Token Junk Reanimator?
No.
Are you playing Fishless Droppings?
Are you playing Aristocratic Assholes?
Are you playing Naya Aggro Jund Esper Control?
Are you playing Ooze Junk?
No, that is not a deck.
Are you playing...
it's not.
It could be, though.
Ooze Junk.
Ooze Junk? That's probably a deck.
That's gotta be a deck.
I bet if you Google Ooze Junk, MTG Ooze Junk, you'll get a deck
but
list.
You have to do it at work.
Are you playing...
You have to put MTG in front of it, because... If you just Google Ooze Junk, we are not responsible for the hits you get.
Are you gonna play 35 color Planeswalker control?
Yep. All of these are the correct answer. No, I'm playing the what has so far, when I've told everyone, made them groan in disapproval and disgust. I am going to be playing Bant Hexproof.
Yeah.
Which, why did that make everybody mad, Megan?
Because it is a deck that basically your opponents can't really interact with. You slap down a creature, you stick a bunch of auras on him, and then you hit your opponents.
Why can I not interact with that?
Because mostly my creature's gonna get real big, and you can't target him. So mm-hmm. you need to have
either... he has hexproof?
He has hexproof. Mm-hmm. Yes, my bad. That was you slap down a cheap little hexproof creature. Mm-hmm. And so if you have targeted removal, that will not work. You either have to have general removal, like a
planar cleansing,
a sweeper,
like a sweeper. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
A wrath effect. I think what's the one that I'm thinking of? Red. Miracle spell, Bonfire of the Damned. That would be fine.
What about Mizzium Mortars?
Mizzium Mortars, like a flame wave effect. Yeah.
Would be fine. Something like Celestial Flare would work.
Yeah.
You're just giving everybody the ways to beat you right now.
An edict, card that makes you sacrifice, that would work.
That's true. What's the black one that's right now?
Edict?
No. It's one colorless and a black, and it's in Ravnica.
I know what you're saying.
Alter's yeah. Reap.
No.
Shut
up.
It's definitely not
Liliana
that.
Of the Veil.
Nope. Anyways, you guys. Flesh. It's Devour Flesh. Flesh. Thank you. Anyways, sorry, because that's what I've been thinking about, right? That's what I have to think about with this deck, is all the types of removal that could really be shitty for me.
Yeah.
There's the White Miracle.
Yeah, Terminus.
Terminus, yep. Merciless Eviction.
Yeah,
that'll get you. That'll put you in trouble.
Someone just literally burns your cards.
Cyclonic Rift.
Someone just burns my cards.
Cyclonic Rift. That'll get you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Aetherize. Aetherize.
Feel real good.
Aetherize.
How are you feeling confident?
Because everyone's running Aetherize in their
fog.
Constructed decks.
There's fog.
Anyways, I'm really excited.
Why did you pick Bant Hexproof, Megan?
I'm doing this thing where before the end of the month, when everything flips over to Theros and Innistrad is no longer
when
available.
When does this happen?
Once Theros becomes like the block. So it's not the pre-release. I don't know how better to say that. Ben, fine. Say it better.
Once Theros is released and on sale in stores that are physical.
There you go.
That means Innistrad cards will no longer be legal.
And M13 will no longer be legal.
And M13 will rotate out.
Say goodbye to your Thrag Tusks, kids.
Yeah.
And those Bonfires of the Damned.
Yeah.
And
those Geists.
And so I was like, I haven't been able to play it yet. And I'm going to try and experiment and play one different deck each week.
Oh, nice.
What?
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll hopefully be able to get at least 3 or 4 in. And Bant Hexproof was one where I was like, I have some of these cards, and I felt confident in my ability to be able to like borrow or procure the rest of the cards for it, which is what I was actually going to point out. If you don't play Constructed, because I know we talk a lot about Limited, I basically just looked up. I used Star City Games, up some decks that had won their recent. Like their recent events, and was just sort of like scrolled through and was like, oh, this one sounds fun.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if you're sort of like, you worry about constructed deck building and you're like, I don't know where to start, I would recommend starting there.
Nice.
Because it gives you an idea. And there are a couple of cards I had to sub in because I was like, oh, I can't find
tag team.
I can't find this.
Yeah.
But it works
let's
out.
Let's put in a pinch of salt instead of a teaspoon of vanilla. That
oh,
sort of thing.
That's terrible baking advice. That is the worst baking advice.
What? No, let's just do it. You guys make me cookies.
All right.
You make me cookies with vanilla. You make me cookies with a pinch
of salt
instead of
vanilla.
Instead of a teaspoon of vanilla. And we'll see how it happens.
All right, we'll see what happens. You guys, when I was growing up, I used to bake a lot of cornbread. And
sure. I mean,
awesome.
I grew up in Texas.
How
Shut
else,
up, everybody.
That's how you pay taxes in Texas.
Yeah, cornbread. That's how you pay. You
got about 10 pounds of cornbread tax here.
this corn.
Excuse me, miss. I'm the tax man. Just came by on my donkey cart and just wanted to pick up my daily shipment of cornbread for your taxes. Thank
I got
you,
your
miss.
Cornbread right here, but today, instead of putting 4 tablespoons of sugar in, I accidentally went and put 4 tablespoons of salt in, so it's more like hardtack. Have a good time sailing around the world with Magellan.
Will do. Just passing through to the coast.
Bye. So that's what happened.
Cool. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Where were we?
Once I used applesauce instead of butter for a recipe.
I've heard of that.
Yeah,
vegans
that's
do
a
that.
Real thing.
It is. And let me tell you, it is not as satisfying.
I believe that a lot.
Yep.
So anyways, guys, if you are intimidated by deck building, don't let that stop you. Mm. Don't let that stop you. And, that's about it. I feel pretty lucky because I'm able to borrow stuff, so I don't have to commit to something.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. If you're able to find a way to not commit to a deck before you
try to
deck,
of a deck
a couple of times, give yourself that.
And if you don't know if marriage is right for you, maybe
just try it out, man.
Maybe borrow someone's girlfriend or boyfriend or
wife
or
wife
sibling.
Whatever. What?
For a week.
Yeah. See how it goes.
Yeah.
NBD, man. NBD.
Euphemism of the week. Theros edition. You guys, it's our first Theros edition euphemism of the week. How excited are you?
I'm super excited.
I'm so excited I have a lightning strike.
Oh, man. I'm so excited. If I were a dude, this would be a total peak eruption moment.
Well, you guys, this week's euphemism of the week is dun-da-da-dun, chained to the rocks.
I'm so excited I'm going to start master waving.
Good one.
Now, shut up. Chained to the rocks. That's a euphemism for when you can't stop playing with your balls.
Oh my god. Chain to the rocks.
Guys, am I right?
You're
Sunday morning, chain to the rocks.
Wait, is it rock or rocks?
What is it?
It's chain to the rocks.
I'm pretty sure it's rocks. That would be otherwise you just
chain to the rock.
What's
otherwise,
his name? Lance
just,
Armstrong?
Oh my god.
Oh, it is chain to the rocks.
Or okay. You'd just be obsessed with just one of them. You're like, oh, my right one is the better one.
Yeah.
By a long shot.
Yeah. Chained to the rocks.
Chained to the rocks.
That gets me right in my storm breath, dragon.
Nope. I did like master waving, though.
Master of wave.
That's when you masturbate in a bathtub.
waving. Master of waves.
Oh, I got a real rage blood shaman going on.
Oh, God! Rage blood. That's when you get a...
That's just
a rage boner.
It's just a rage
Which,
boner.
By the way, I found out this year is a real thing.
Yeah.
I did not know that was real.
I know someone who has gotten one.
Maria, how
is
did...
it Ben?
How did you find out this was a real thing?
I got someone real mad and also real glad. Mm-hmm. No, I just asked somebody.
Have you ever had a rage boner?
And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. I've had them all the time.
It was a 50s kid. That's true.
Why was it a kid that you were asking?
Anyway.
Hey, little kid.
Do you know what I should do? Talk to them about boners.
So, last week we played a really fun game based on the classic game, Marry, Fuck, Kill. It was called Pick, Lick,
or
Flick.
I still remember reading the history books about how ancient Egyptians
played Marry, Fuck, Kill.
One of the true classics.
True classic games.
Right up there with chess, go,
backdoor
gammon.
Did you say backdoor gammon?
Everyone, we take one pack. We've each got a pack of M14 here, and we're going to open it. And do you want to pick out just a random card? Or do we want to... Let's make sure we save our rare so we can do the rares.
For marriage.
Save the rare for marriage, you guys.
Yep.
Save your rare.
All right.
So everyone take your rare.
Take the top three out.
Take the top three. All right, one, two,
all right, let's
three.
Do tokens first. Let's do tokens all right, first.
All right. Nice, all right.
All right, so the way this works is we have to pick one card that we would pick in a draft, one card that we would lick, which means this card is not necessarily good, but gives me a little bit of a rage blood.
Yeah.
And then one card to flick, which means you just throw it across the room because you never want to have to touch this card again in your life.
Correct.
All right.
One, two, three. Battle the tokens.
Okay, would you rather have a sliver token, a elemental token, a 1-1 elemental token, or a 2-2 cat?
Ooh.
Ooh, I have to say I'm going to go pick the 2-2 cat, lick the elemental, and whatever.
I'm going to pick the cat, lick the sliver, because think about how great that sliver could be someday.
Could be a super good deck. Super good deck.
And I'm going to flick this elemental, because what's the whole point of playing an elemental other than to just throw that shit away?
Correct.
Which is what I'm going to do with this card.
I agree with you, Ben. Cat. Cat's my pick. All right. Now let's make sure we don't pick our rare and just grab another random from the deck.
All right. Wait, should we just go with our top one? Our top uncommon?
Uncommon.
One.
You know, dos, tres.
Three. Air servant.
Oh, God. Nice.
Ben can't figure it out.
I'm trying to find an uncommon. Ooh. Phantom warrior.
Oh, shit.
So we've got Phantom Warrior, Air Servant, and I have Vial of Poison. Okay. Fuck Vial of Poison.
Pick Air Servant, lick Phantom Warrior, flick Vial of
that
Poison.
That is the correct decision.
That's unanimous.
Move on.
Unanimous. All man, right, that Phantom Warrior has a torso I would dream about.
You want to lick that torso?
Torso!
Too bad you'd be licking the door behind the torso.
Damn it. He only is a torso.
He's got more than a torso. It's just on the other side of that door.
Oh, that's what he tells you, but how do you know? Baby, I got more than just my torso. It's on the other side of this door.
Don't worry about it. Someday you'll open this door and you'll find out. All right, ready?
Look, I'm not tangible, but I'm willing to take the time, baby. You know.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Ooh.
Mana Weft Sliver.
Young Pyromancer.
Spell Blast.
Oh man.
Not hard.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna pick the Pyromancer, lick the sliver. And just flick that spell blast.
Agree.
Amen. Unanimous again.
I feel creepy marrying that young pyromancer, but maybe he's
You know
into
what?
It.
The terrible thing about then. Spell blast is that you can never...
No, it's such an expensive counter spell.
You can never counter something for less mana than the spell.
Yeah.
So it's always like...
You need to be one ahead of whatever they're casting.
Yeah.
It's...
Gross.
You know I love blue counter spells. But man, that one blows.
All right, let's do a random card now.
Ready?
Random card. Random card.
Trois.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
This
is a saucy one.
Nefalia Sea Kite.
Shiv's Embrace.
Yeah.
Or Hunt the Weak.
Oh, man. This is where it really gets into blonde or brunette territory.
It really does. I think I have to go... Pick Sea Kite, lick Shiv's Embrace, flick Hunt the Weak.
Well, you guys all know me. I'm definitely picking Shiv's Embrace and probably licking it too. But I'm just going to lick the Nefalia Sea Kite, flick the Hunt the Weak. I mean, Shiv's Embrace is everything I want in a card, basically.
That's fair. It's just real. See, for me, what's doing it is that the Sea Kite one has Flash, which I effing love.
Yeah.
When I drafted on Tuesday, I had 4 cards with Flash in my deck, and it was just like, it was insane, especially because after the first two, they don't ever expect you to play another one. Honestly, after you play one, they don't super expect you to have another one.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh.
And it's in blue, best color.
Exactly. Shiv's Embrace, as far as enchantments go, is sweet.
Yeah.
Ben, what are you doing?
I'm going to pick the brunette. I'm going to lick the redhead, and I'm going to flick the blonde.
The blonde being Hunt the Weak.
Yep.
Nice. That's fair.
The redhead being Shiv's.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
Yeah. Shiv's is just so vulnerable to some sweet-ass blue spells.
I know it is. It really is. I mean, I'm being dangerous. That's you're let's
being,
be honest.
You're being so on
I'm
the
riding
edge,
bareback
Maria.
With that one.
Oh, yeah. One,
two, three.
Another, you can pick it again, Maria. Yes. Shiv's Embrace.
Yes. Goblin Shortcutter.
Or Undead Minotaur.
Oh, well. Wow. All right. Pick the Shiv's Embrace.
I'm going to lick that Minotaur.
Really? Are you looking at the card art? Because I was going to say that, but then I looked at the card art.
It's pretty grody.
It's pretty grody.
I'm going to pick the Shortcutter, lick the Embrace, and flick the Minotaur.
Whoa, you're picking Shortcutter in a draft over Shivs?
Probably, yeah.
Really?
I mean, it depends on the deck.
If you're going quick red aggro, man, that Shortcutter's going to...
It depends on the deck, but basically, I don't think there's any deck that really wants a Shivs Embrace. I mean, that's not necessarily true, but... I think there are more. I've certainly played more decks that wanted a Shortcutter
than wanted that
just because they're being aggressive than wanted Shiv's Embrace.
Are you saying I'm a weak player for picking this?
I'm saying you're a weak human being. No,
I would say.
I mean, sometimes I feel like it. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I have been having a ton of trouble with M14 because I am so used to being aggressive from Return to Ravnica.
Mm-hmm.
And Gate Crash, in which I did extremely well in Gate Crash. I thought I got this down. I've mastered everything.
You were campaigning for Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Now, just like...
Yeah.
I'm in the doghouse with M14.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's because I'm picking Shiv's Embrace.
Have you drafted any successful aggressive decks?
When I began playing, I drafted a successful red-green aggressive deck. Mm-hmm. So, yes, sure. I have.
Okay.
But... I've been leaning towards too heavily towards blue, and I just have a harder time playing blue.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that has something to do with it.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway.
All right.
Let's do the rares.
Let's do the rares.
Rare.
One.
Pick.
Two,
lick. Flick. Or flick.
Oops. Well, Maria's
would,
four.
Oh, shit. This is really great.
Okay, we got a saucy one. We got some sauce on this spaghetti meatball.
Nice.
Would you rather pick, lick, or flick Siobhan Dragon, Trading Post,
oh my God,
or Colonian Hydra?
This is so great.
Jeez, man. I'm going to go, I mean, if you don't pick that Colonian Hydra, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Maybe I want to lick it. I'm going to lick it because I
want
to...
You want that many heads?
I want to clone it with a Quicksilver Gargantuan.
Yep. And then I would probably... I'm going to lick that dragon, man.
Oh, yeah,
I'm gonna
for
lick
sure.
That dragon. Trading post doesn't really deserve to be flicked. I don't think it deserves to be flicked.
I'm
going to
lick the trading post just because I feel like that's a card you can go crazy with.
It's so multi-purpose, man.
I'm going to pick the Colonian Hydra because that's a card that wins in basically two turns.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although,
you got to deal with it, and you got to deal with it now, man.
Although I do have to say I was super duper sad because I was playing a game of Momir, and I got a Colonian Hydra as my 5-drop, and my opponent got a 5/7 on his next turn.
Aww.
So he was just able to, like...
Sad.
I basically just traded it for his 5/7.
But you got to distribute some counters.
No, that's not how that card works.
That's the other one.
Oh,
Vastwood.
Which,
oh, yeah, you're right.
By the way, I made that mistake was in one of the side events at GP Oakland. Someone played a Vastwood Hydra for 4, and I was like, I just thought it was a Colonial Hydra because I wasn't paying attention.
Man, it is not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Trading Post, I mean, this is initially a card that, as a limited player, I say I don't want something like this. Because it's an artifact and it's slow and it doesn't do anything. I mean, it can potentially do something the turn you play it, but...
Mm-hmm. It does everything.
But I was wrong, everybody. This card is pretty good.
Yeah, it's sweet.
I played in an Angelic Accord deck, and that was nut bones.
Yep. Or a Trading Post and a Bubbling Cauldron.
Yep. And basically it makes goats, so how can it be bad?
How can it be bad when it makes an 0-1 goat token?
Goat token.
Goat token.
If any of our listeners are really great fans of the show and have been listening since maybe like the first or second episode.
Yeah, that was an early one.
We used to have a segment on the show we sometimes do called Great Moments in Addiction, where we talk about a moment from our life that proves our magic addiction.
Yeah.
And I hung up a goat token, a 0-1 goat token at my place of work. and waited for somebody, the first person to comment about it, I said was going to be my work friend.
Did you ever get a work friend, Maria?
Yeah, I had somebody comment on it, but it took a long time. But the goat token has a special place in my heart, I think, being my first real, like, public display of magic love.
Yeah.
Was the goat token.
Aww. Yeah, so sweet.
Even though they have creepy square eyes. Rectangle eyes, actually.
Yeah.
Weird.
This hydra is also worth, like, $20 or $30, right?
It is?
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
No way.
I will trade you for it.
Let's do that off air.
That's our show.
That's our show. Thanks, we gotta go.
Oh, I forgot to bring my ukulele.
Oh yeah, we're gonna next episode.
Next episode, we will end with a special ukulele song. Tune.
Yes, in a segment we like to call Stereotypes of the Week.
Did you say Stereotypes of the Week? Sure.
You guys, if you want to check out some sweet new apps and articles by myself and Megan, head on over to themeatery.org. Megan's going to post an article that actually goes right along with this episode. So if you get our episode from iTunes or MTGcast, hop on over to themeatery.org to read an awesome article by Megan.
Woo!
Megan, what's it about this week?
The article this week is all about playing around tricks that your opponent might have.
Yeah, read it. You might learn something.
So, or not playing around them, because fuck them.
Love wow. it. I love it.
Wow. So, yeah.
You gotta know when to fuck them.
Know when to play around them. If only
never
I had
count
a
your
right
mana
now.
When I'm tapping for the turn. There'll be time enough for counting.
God.
When you cast your burn.
There's a little preview for you of Ben's new CD coming out. Magic sung in a country accent. It's on Red House Records.
Bye, kids.
If you want to listen to any of our old episodes, you can do it on iTunes. You can also do it on our website, magicthamaturing.com.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow us on Twitter, we'll love you forever unconditionally yep. and put you in our wills.
And we tweet one line of each episode per second.
Yep. Follow us.
And then you get a full episode.
At MTAcast. I'd love to see new followers. Yesterday, I tweeted a picture of Brian Kibler's dog, Shiro. So that's the kind of thing you can expect.
A lot. You can expect that.
That?
A lot. Because mm-hmm. I don't know that a week has gone by in the past month that Maria hasn't tweeted a picture of Shiro.
You can also say hi to me on Magic the Gathering Online, which is an online application for playing Magic the Gathering. My name is Middle Schooler.
Mine is Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm Horny _ Unicorny. I'm probably playing a draft, but hey, we can chat.
Yeah.
I'm probably playing a draft, and I'll be like, hi, I'm about to time out.
All right, so until next week, partner, thank you for riding down this dusty trail with us. And next time, just remember to bring your own canteen, because I didn't really pack enough water for all of us. You know, and you can only squeeze so much juice out of a cactus. Right, Texas?
It's a reasonable amount of juice.
Later.
Tumbleweed. So I missed a million miles of fun.